New Testament reading, first one, is Luke chapter 3, verses 15 through 17 and 21 through 22, and that can be found on page 60 in the New Testament section of the Pew Bible. As the people were filled with expectation, and all were questioning in their hearts concerning John, whether he might be the Messiah, John answered all of them by saying, "I baptize you with water, but one who is more powerful than I is coming. I am not worthy to untie the thong of his sandals. He will baptize you in the Holy Spirit and fire. His winnowing fork is in his hand to clear his threshing floor and to gather the wheat into his granary, but the chaff he will burn with unquenchable fire." Now when all the people were baptized, and when Jesus also had been baptized and was praying, the heaven was opened, and the Holy Spirit descended upon him in bodily form like a dove. And a voice came from heaven, "You are my Son, the Beloved. With you I am well pleased." And the second New Testament reading continues with Acts chapter 8, verses 14 through 17, and that can be found on page 126. Now when the apostles at Jerusalem heard that Samaria had accepted the word of God, they sent Peter and John to them. The two went down and prayed for them that they might receive the Holy Spirit, for as yet the Spirit had not come upon any of them. They had only been baptized in the name of the Lord Jesus. Then Peter and John laid their hands on them, and they received the Holy Spirit. This is the word of God for the people of God. Thanks be to God.
Lord, let the words of my mouth and the meditation of my heart and my mind be acceptable in thy sight, my Lord and my Redeemer. Amen. Baptism.
Lee and Summer were baptized, and Linda Dobbins was baptized, all in the month of December. What is a baptism? What does baptism mean to you? Is it a life-changing event? Is it just some ceremony that we go through? Is it some rite of passage that as Christians we believe we have to participate in? I mean, it is many things, but first and foremost, it is a sacrament. A sacrament is something that has been set apart, made holy, not by anything that we have done or any man has done, but set apart and made holy and different by God, the Creator. It's also something that Christ Himself, our Lord and Savior, our Redeemer, tells us we should do. To Nicodemus, He said, "You must be born again by water and Spirit." He tells us in the communion, the other sacrament, to do this as oft as you do this in remembrance of me. It's a covenant. In other words, it's an agreement that two parties make. When Summer was brought up here, she, even at the age of 7, is smart enough, blessed enough, to confess with her lips that Jesus is Lord. I don't know what was in her heart, but we know that in Romans it tells us, confess with your lips and believe in your heart that Christ Jesus is Lord, then you're saved. Whether you're an infant who can't speak for yourself, or an adult like Lee or Linda, you make a covenant. Not just with the congregation, because the congregation had something to say as well, right? There were promises made. Renouncing the forces of wickedness, rejecting evil in every aspect, and promising to see Christ as Lord and accept Him as Savior and empower Him to open the door, because He's not going to kick it down. He could, but He's not going to. That's what baptism is. Baptism by the Holy Spirit. Baptism by water and fire. And that fire, oh, goodness, we think of fire. You know, Pentecost, there were over 5,000 men. Peter preaches. Peter was a fisherman. Peter wasn't some learned scholar. Peter preached with the power of the Holy Spirit that day at Pentecost. And how many? The scripture tells us 5,000. I don't know. That's 5,000 men. How many women were there? How many children were there? And that on each of those, the Holy Spirit descended and appeared like tongues of fire. And they gave evidence that they were blessed by the Holy Spirit. And what was that? They were speaking in tongues. And not only were they speaking in tongues that, you know, give goodness gracious, everyone was able to hear and understand. We know that there are fruits and there are gifts. Fruits are where? Fruits are where? Galatians 5:22, right? Gifts are? 1 Corinthians 12. Hallelujah. What gifts do you have? What fruits of the Holy Spirit? What fruits of baptism are in your heart? What fruits and gifts do you have? I tell you that there are gifts and fruits that God has blessed you with that you don't even realize. You may have them and you may never have used them. I urge you this week and for the next few weeks to look at 1 Corinthians chapter 12, verses 1 through 11. Those are the gifts. I urge you to look at Galatians 5, 22. Those are the fruits. You know a tree by its fruit? What kind of a tree is it? Is it a pear tree? Is it an orange tree? Is it an apple tree? Is it a grapevine? Is it a stalk of wheat? Is it a corn stalk? Is it a child of God? Are they a child of God? What are their fruits? What do you see evident in their lives? When Jesus comes to John the baptizer, now, the people had been asking John if he was the Messiah, because there were many things that he was doing that were fulfillment of that prophecy in Isaiah. He was saying, prepare ye the way of the Lord. He was crying out in the wilderness as a voice, prepare ye the way of the Lord. He was telling the people of Israel, the Jews, to repent of their lives of sin, to turn away from the wickedness and to return to their first love. To not count themselves as children of Abraham by their genealogy, because, as John says, God can make children of Abraham from the very stones that are around you. Children of Abraham, children of promise, are those who through faith, not by adherence to the law, but by faith, are saved. They are counted children of God because they're righteous. They're righteous because of what? Because of their faith. And what is faith? Hebrews 11. Faith is the hope for things not yet made evident. So we have faith that the Holy Spirit is touching us. We have hope that Holy Spirit is giving us gifts and talents. But you know what? They need to be made manifest, because with our faith, it's the hope for things not yet seen. When Jesus is baptized by John, what do we see happen? Jesus comes up. John has just said ahead of time, in response to people asking him if he's the Messiah, that I am not the Messiah. I am not worthy even to loose the thong of him. And I baptize you in a baptism of repentance. In other words, clean up your act. Get right with God. Jesus is coming. That one who is coming after me will baptize you with water and fire. Yes, to clean you up, but fire to ignite in you a transforming fire. He talks of a winnowing. You know, the phrases that Luke is giving us in that is John is telling them in terms that they would understand. This winnowing is, all of them knew how the fields were done. All of them knew how the wheat was sifted from the chaff. And you knew what was happening. You threw up. You winnowed the stuff that you pulled out of the field. And the grain would fall, and that's what you would keep up. You would pick up, and what else was left was the chaff, or the leaves and the stems and all of the things that you weren't going to grind up to make bread. And what did they do with that? Burn it. Ow. You and I are being winnowed. You and I are being refined. And what fire is refining us? That Holy Spirit fire. That flame that comes and resides over each and every one of us. It's no mistake that one of the symbols, one of the emblems that the Methodist Church has and other churches have is a cross and a flame. Yes, the cross is there. Yes, we declare that our salvation is because of the cross. Our salvation and our promise is because Christ has already paid it all, and the cross is a constant reminder of that. But there should be something evident about His salvation, His saving grace in you, and your faith in that, in the life that you lead. The things that you do, the things that you say. There should be fruits of God's labor, fruits of God's salvation, proof, evidence, talents, gifts that God has given you. And you know what? Each and every one of you, I want you to look around. Each and every one of you has gifts and talents. And you may not even know what your gifts and talents are. You may know what some of them are. God alone knows all of your gifts and talents. God alone knows all of the gifts and talents that He's given you. God alone knows what He has called each and every one of you to do. Each and every one of us. It's not just you. It's me too. I'm in the same boat as you are. Hallelujah. Saved by grace. Empowered by the Holy Spirit. And when John baptizes Jesus and he's washed in the River Jordan and he comes out, and he begins to pray. And as he is praying, the heavens open up. The clouds open up. And the Holy Spirit, like a dove, descends on him. And we hear this voice.
James Earl Jones. This is my beloved Son, in whom I'm well pleased.
Well, that's how Hollywood would do it. But I think that there was a voice that puts James Earl Jones to shame. Because it resonated in the hearts, not just in the ears of each and every person there that day. This is my beloved Son, whom I am well pleased. Why? Why was God well pleased in him? Because he was obedient to doing the will of God. Jesus came not needing a baptism of repentance, not needing a baptism like all of the other scribes and Pharisees and all those other people like you and me, sinners. Jesus came as the Lamb of God. Yeah, the Lion of Judah. Absolutely. But he came as the Lamb of God. He came as one who would lay down his life for you and for me. And he would not lay down his life because he had no other option. He would lay down his life because he had options. But he was choosing to follow the plan that God had made for him. And the plan of God, as he said in John, I come not to do my will, but the will of the Father. That no one given to me by him shall be lost. All will be lifted up. That's what Jesus did. John baptized him with a baptism of repentance. But the Holy Spirit was there, evidence of that baptism of the Holy Spirit of water and fire. That water cleansing us, absolutely. Lee, perfect life, right? Yeah. You and I both know. But after that, I'm washed clean. After that, I have a new slate, a clean slate. After that, I can go into each tomorrow that Christ gives to me, and each today, more importantly. Tomorrow, who knows what tomorrow brings, but today, live for Christ. Today, use the gifts and talents that God has given you. Today, bear good fruit. Don't be, and there's nothing against the Samaritans in this case, but in the Acts piece, they had been baptized by Philip in the name of Jesus Christ. And Peter and John were sent to see how these Samaritans, you know, Samaritans, y'all know the parable of the Good Samaritan? They're good guys, right? Not in ancient Egypt, not in ancient Israel. Samaritans were lower people. Samaritans were, heaven forbid, they married people of different faiths. They married people who were not Jewish. They were looked down upon as second class, maybe third class people. But to these Samaritans who Philip had come and preached and given them the good news, but they hadn't got it all. For whatever reason, they hadn't gotten the Holy Spirit. They were baptized in the name of Jesus Christ. But they, when Peter and John show up, they see no evidence that the Holy Spirit, that they'd been baptized by the Holy Spirit. There weren't any gifts and talents that were evident. As I told the girls this morning, sometimes the gifts and talents aren't necessarily those gifts and talents that we think about. It's when you look into that person's face and you see there's a glow about it. There's something different. Maybe not in a gift and talent, something they can do, but the way they look, it's different. God's got their lives now. God's in charge of their lives. Well, the Samaritans had not been baptized by the Holy Spirit. And Peter and John look at that and ask him, and you know, it's not that Philip did something wrong or didn't do it correctly. All the commentators I said, all I've read, didn't say that there was anything intrinsically wrong in what Philip had done, but they had not received the Holy Spirit. So Peter and John prayed, laid hands on them, and they were baptized by the Holy Spirit. By the Holy Spirit and fire. By the Holy Spirit, by water and spirit. And they were baptized. And how would they know? Because they started bearing fruit. They started showing evidence. There were gifts and talents apparent in them. The Holy Spirit is the comforter, the advocate. Jesus, when he left, said, "I go to the Father so that he will send an advocate and a comforter to you." And he was poured out on them at Pentecost. And that Holy Spirit, that same Holy Spirit, was evident here for both Linda Dobbins' baptism, for Summers, for Lee's. That's a baptism of the Holy Spirit. What are your gifts and talents? What are the fruits that God has given you? Think on that. Read that Galatians 5:22 and 1 Corinthians chapter 12. Gifts, fruits, evidence are you displaying? Where's the love? Where's the faithfulness? Where's the grace? Where's the discernment? Where's the healing? Where's the teaching in your life? And for what do you give thanks? For what do you give praise? For what do you sing joyful songs? Psalm 100 doesn't say beautiful music. I mean, the cantata was wonderful. That anthem was wonderful today. And I've loved the bells that have come out of that organ. It's kind of hard to believe that bells come out of that organ. But Janice works miracles. But you're an instrument. What gifts and talents have you been blessed with? And what are you going to show to the glory of God? Peace. Shalom. Amen.